Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we're going to be more assessing this rotation of money, a bit of a weakness that we have seen in US equity markets and strength in some of the safer haven assets. This is all coming at a time where we are seeing escalations in war, but quite frankly, there's a number of different sectors too that are kind of outside of that war narrative. We're chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Now, Dave, we look at US equity markets Q2, which we're only 19 days into in the month of April. We've seen some weakness in the broad averages, and we have seen strength in gold, in the US dollar still staying high. There's a number of reasons I guess we can attribute to all of this, but just from a high level aspect, I need to ask you, how much war premium, how much geopolitics is in this, and how much is it simply, in your eyes, a rotation of money out of a stock market that was kind of unrelentingly going higher in Q4 and Q1?
Yeah, Corey. Well, first of all, you take a look at what happened in the breakout, right? I mean, first, you've got a major breakout after a 13-year cup and handle pattern, right? You've got a major breakout above 2100. So within 6 weeks after this major breakout above 2100, gold's gone through 2300 and quickly moved to over 2400 and getting close to that 2500 target. So what happened last Friday was war fears really ramped up when Israel announced that they expected an attack from Iran. That's when gold really took off toward that 2500 area. And we saw a huge reversal, a $75 reversal. But it wasn't a key reversal because the gold price didn't take out the low of the previous day. So what's happened since then? Now you've got this high consolidation happening in an extreme overbought situation inside of a symmetrical triangle, with the high being the 2450 area and the low being 2340, which took place the following session on Monday. So it's consolidating in that triangle in an overbought condition, but it's remaining in an overbought condition because of the geopolitical fears that continue to happen in the Middle East. You had the US come in and thwart the drone attack from Iran for Israel. So that basically tells Russia, hey, we can protect Iran. So they sent a Navy frigate into the Mediterranean Sea when that took place. So everybody's worried about World War III here. That's keeping the gold price well bid right around 2400. And I think this is the reason why the gold stocks really haven't reacted much, because you've seen the stock market turn down. And you've seen the Dow, the S&P, the Nasdaq all go below their 50-day moving average and rolling over. And the S&P started off the first 4 days of the week up and then closed down. So that's telling you there's distribution going on. And the gold stocks are outperforming the stock market along with gold, but they're really not outperforming as much as you would expect to see in previous major breakouts in the gold price. So there's a lot going on right now, but even though the gold stocks aren't really outperforming as they should, they're still outperforming the stock market, but they're not outperforming gold this week because it is a geopolitical situation, is the reasoning behind the gold price going up so far so fast after it reached a certain point last week.
Well, Dave, just bringing in maybe another input here, there's a lot of investors that have had a really good run in the stock market. And so to Corey's point, it's kind of a nuanced thing. There's definitely a geopolitical angle, but there's also, with the stock market rolling over a little bit, there's a lot of investors that have made money and just want to store it someplace safe. So they're putting it in the US dollar. They may be putting it in treasuries, but they're also putting some in gold. And we've had some people on that were mentioning there's gold inflows finally, and some of the ETFs, which shows that there's some Western demand in GLD and SLV, and there's global demand. It's not just a US situation. And so I don't think people in China or India are necessarily buying because they're worried about Iran and Israel. I think they're buying because they're trying to store money against currencies that are being devalued. So isn't it just a nuanced situation where there's a lot of global buying in the East and all, even in the West, that's really a safe haven play for financial reasons, not just for geopolitical reasons?
Oh, absolutely. There's a major gold bull market happening amongst the citizens and the Chinese central bank in China. that's been going on for the past several months as they've been worried about their stock market cratering. And, you know, agents have a penchant for protecting their wealth with gold. You know, we were talking offline that I'm basically doing the same thing. You know, my U.S. dollar and gold holdings have now equal what I have invested in the stock market. I'm concerned also. So that is definitely being seen. I mean, you see Costco, you know, showing upwards of $200 million a month of gold bar sales. You know, you see central banks continuing to buy. And also, like you said, you're starting to see inflows into gold ETFs after outflows continued, you know, for quite some time as the gold price continued to go up because of central bank buying. So yeah, it's starting to happen, but we still haven't seen that transfer into major gold stock buying just yet. I mean, I would think that now that it appears as though the stock market has stopped, you look at AI stocks, Tesla topped a long time ago, Apple topped several months ago. It looks like Microsoft is rolling over. So some of those outsized gains in AI stocks and in crypto, also crypto's all over the place before this Bitcoin halving. I mean, you look one minute, it's below 60,000. You look the next minute, it's back up to 64,000. You know, that's not a safe place to put your money. So, you know, it's starting to happen where you're starting to see some flows coming into the gold price, but it hasn't yet trickled down to the gold stocks as much.
Well, why not, Dave? Is this just simply the best opportunity ever for gold investors looking at gold stocks and saying, look at this value disconnect? Because look, we've been talking about this for years, and this should be a great environment for gold stocks to be moving higher with the higher gold price, especially, but they're slow moving. Why is this happening? I thought such a small sector like this could start moving so quickly if we were seeing more, just any inflows.
Yeah, well, a big reason is cost. You know, I mean, take a look at the all-in sustaining costs, which these all-in sustaining costs, mind you, they don't factor in taxes, they don't factor in royalties. So the all-in sustaining cost of a price of gold averaged $1,475 in Q4. But I know Metals Focus has a gauge they use where they add these taxes and royalties, and they came up with a number closer to 2,000 of all-in sustaining costs when you factor all that in. So there's that reason. And also a reason that gold stocks are stocks. So, you know, when the stock market starts to roll over, selling begets selling, and gold stocks will not go up quite as much as the gold price. But like I said, they are still outperforming. But like I said, a big reason is that these costs are still weighing on these miners. And until the miners start to outperform, the juniors as a whole will not outperform. Sure, we've seen several juniors start to outperform and bifurcate from the market, as we have seen a few miners do the same because they have lower cost mines.
Well, Dave, another elephant in the room is really silver not having broken above 30 yet. Because while silver has bounced recently and central banks don't buy silver, just like they don't buy gold and silver stocks, we really need to see that silver $30 line in the sand broken as the overhead resistance. And it did go up and test it last week and then quickly reverse back down. It's at $28.80 at the time of this recording, which is a solid price. But don't you think some of it is that the animal spirits really won't return to the mining stocks, both gold and silver, until we see silver really break that gold-silver ratio in a positive direction?
Yes, I've been saying this for the past several months, that we need to see the silver price break above that multi-year resistance at 30 and start trending upwards above 30, along with the gold-silver ratio getting back down below 80 and trending below 80. We've started to see some strength in the silver price in relation to gold recently, where that gold-silver ratio has gone from 90 down to 84, 85. But it needs to get below 80 and start trending below 80 as the silver price is breaking out above 30 before we get the real animal spirits going in the stocks. Because if you take a look at the silver price and the GDX and the GDXJ, they've been pretty much a mirror image in their underperformance of the gold price for the past 4 years.
So, Dave, we look to other commodity sectors, and we've noted this for the last couple of weeks here, is that the oil stocks, the copper stocks, they are doing well. The majors are breaking out. The ETFs are breaking out to all-time highs. How does that all factor into this commentary here where people are getting defensive with their money? So they're moving into gold and other defensive vehicles. Why are they going into copper stocks? Why are they going into oil stocks if they're being so defensive?
Well, I think they need to see Q2 numbers of these gold miners, right? I mean, in Q1, the gold price averaged 2070. You know, we're seeing several production numbers come out of these miners in these mid-tiers, and it looks like they received around an average of $2,070 an ounce of gold produced. So if in Q2, at the end of Q2, the gold price is trading around here, the average price is going to be a couple of $100 higher than that at least. And these Q2 reports that come out are going to show massive profits for these gold stocks. And I think that they'll start to come in maybe ahead of that, perceiving that, or maybe just after.
Well, Dave, couldn't another nuance to this discussion also be that investors are finally starting to prefer the real and the tangible over the digital? Because we've seen a move out of AI and out of digital assets and into things like the industrial sector, the material sector. Those are some of the sectors doing best while most other sectors are pulling back. So real commodities like copper and oil, the producers that actually make money extracting these resources are doing well. But maybe not so much the copper juniors, maybe not so much the oil juniors. It's the companies that actually have real assets in the ground and are producing real assets that seem to be getting the bid. Couldn't that be playing a part?
Right. Yeah. As we all know, you know, after major bear markets like we've just experienced, it's the majors and the mid-tiers and the royalty companies. That's what gets the funds and the generalist investor in first. And then it trickles down to the junior space. I mean, if you just take a look at Freeport, Moran, if you take a look at Rio Tinto, Freeport has already broken out of a huge four-year base and Rio's about to, and they both pay solid dividends. So they're going into stocks like that. And if you take a look at Wheaton Precious Metals, which is a top royalty streamer, it's about to do the same, break out of a huge four-year base. So investors start to come into these stocks first, and then it'll trickle down into the juniors.
That's true. That's what we've been waiting for. And we have seen a general rebound in these majors. But again, there's so much work for these majors to do. It's just been interesting to see some of the other commodity stocks outperform even the gold and silver stocks. But hey, overall, any sort of uptrend should be encouraging for investors, us as investors in the sector. We just need much more follow through after 4 years of relentless downward pressure. I know it sticks with a lot of investors, but it's also other investors that need to come into the sector. Seems like they are at least starting to. When they'll come into the stocks, that's the biggest question. Dave, thank you as always for this chat. We'll touch base again next week. Geopolitics will probably remain in the news while this rotation of money. Let's see how much lower the U.S. equity markets move. Dave, thank you as always for your time. Have a great weekend.
Sure thing, guys. You too.